following story is about the recent Human Watch report about Mustafa Kerir, a Canadian citizen with Libyan roots, who was imprisoned and tortured during Gaddafi's regime, and at the time he also underwent interrogation by Canadian Security Intelligence Services, CSIS. We spoke with Andrea Prasso, Senior Counterterrorism Counsel and Advocate, and who is also with Human Rights Watch, an organization dedicated to human rights of people around the world. We reached Andrea in New York by phone on Wednesday, October 26th.
Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Andrea Prasso. I'm Senior Counterterrorism Counsel with Human Rights Watch, based in Washington, D.C.
What happened to Mustafa Kerir when he was detained in Libya from 2002 to 2010?
Well, Mr. Kerir has alleged that he was mistreated by the Libyan officials. Libya, of course, has a long history of abusing detainees. And Mr. Kerir was interrogated by Libyans, by agents of the U.S. government, and also, he's alleged, by CSIS, by the Canadian Intelligence Service, while detained in Libya under very troubling conditions.
How many times was Kerir visited by CSIS while he was detained in Libya? And also, could you tell us a bit about what took place during those visits?
Sure. Kerir said he was interrogated by CSIS about three times. He was interrogated by agents of four different governments over a period of 8 years, so he couldn't recall the exact number. He thought the CSIS interrogations took place about three times. And one of the interrogations was a joint interrogation between CSIS and Libyan interrogators. Kerir described sitting at a long table and seeing the CSIS agents on one side and the Libyans on the other. In the meantime, Kerir has not alleged any mistreatment by CSIS, but he has said that Libyan interrogators beat him repeatedly with sticks and cables, kicked him in the face. At times he was blindfolded. He said on one occasion he was forced to stay in what he called a steel box for 5 days with limited access to food and water. And this type of conduct was well known to the Canadian government at the time. It was very clear that this sort of conduct was typical in a Libyan detention facility.
Could you tell us a bit more about how well known it was that there were human rights abuses taking place in Libya at the time?
Well, you know, not only was it well known to the public, it was known to the Canadian government. Human Rights Watch raised this issue with the Canadian government when Paul Martin was traveling to Libya. So it was very clear at the time, the Canadian government, the U.S. government, the British government were all aware of the conduct of Libyan security forces against detainees in Libyan detention, yet each government participated in either sending people to Libya and or interrogating them there, and also benefiting from the interrogations conducted by the Libyans. So, for example, while Kerir hasn't alleged that CSIS engaged in any mistreatment, he says the Libyans did. And to the extent that he might have provided information because of his mistreatment by the Libyans that he wouldn't have otherwise, CSIS benefited from the mistreatment by the Libyan forces.
How did Human Rights Watch become aware of what happened to Mustafa Kerir?
Well, Human Rights Watch has been very active in Libya in the last few months, and our researchers stumbled across a cache of documents in Tripoli about a month ago while trying to secure a building. One of the things that our researchers try to do is protect information. So Libya is in a time of transition. They were securing official documents so that they could be accessed in the future. And in the course of that, they started interviewing people. The leader of the Libyan rebels, a man named Ahmed Balhaj, said he had been a victim of the CIA rendition program and had been mistreated. And they started interviewing other people who made similar allegations, including Mustafa Kerir. And they discovered that he was a Canadian citizen and that he told one of our researchers that CSIS had indeed interrogated him in Libya.
So has CSIS responded to any of the allegations made by the Human Rights Watch or Mustafa Kerir himself?
CSIS has not. We specifically asked them for comment, and they declined to comment. I hope that they do at some point. It would be very interesting to hear what their rationalization is for why it was acceptable to interrogate someone in those circumstances. You know, Krer was detained from between 2002 and 2010, and an example of the documentation of mistreatment is that the U.S. State Department's report on human rights practices, which is a considered sort of a global reference for the conduct of other governments, in 2004 said that Libyan security personnel reportedly routinely tortured prisoners during interrogations or as a punishment, and described a variety of really horrific techniques employed on those prisoners. This was publicly available information. This is information that the Canadian government, CSIS in particular, would have had access to and very likely consulted prior to going to Libya. So it's really quite troubling. And I don't know the answer for why CSIS thought it was appropriate to benefit from the Libyans' mistreatment of one of their own citizens.
Is this type of behavior by CSIS common?
Well, we don't have specific knowledge of this type of conduct, but CSIS is engaged in extraterritorial interrogations. You know, they played a role in the in Afghanistan and the detainee abuse scandal there, and then CSIS has talked a little bit about their role there, although they're quite circumspect, of course, as intelligence services are. And the issue, is, of course, is not the mere fact that they traveled to another country to interrogate someone, but they did so in the context of an abusive detention regime, knowing or being in a position where they should have known that this person would be abused or even tortured.
What are the next steps for Human Rights Watch in pursuing this case?
Well, you know, we would like CSIS to come up with a response, but they haven't yet. And we continue to monitor the situation. We do have people routinely on the ground in Libya, in different parts of Libya. Of course, right now there are the terrain has shifted a little bit in terms of our focus on the human rights abuses that are taking place in that area now. But we'll continue to monitor the situation, continue to be in touch with CRER where possible, and try to get some sort of accounting for what happened.
All right. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how Human Rights Watch's role has changed recently in Libya and what the focus is currently.
Well, I wouldn't say that the role has changed, but, for example, our researchers have uncovered, you know, some pretty gruesome information lately. They discovered 53 decomposing bodies in Sirte last week that appeared to have been executed by the rebels, even though some of the people had their hands tied behind their backs. So we've also called for an investigation into the circumstances around Gaddafi's death, because there are allegations that he was executed by the rebels after being captured alive. So those have been some of the really pressing issues, as well as the fact that there are masses of unsecured weapons in Libya right now, which poses a grave concern both for the Libyans as well as the rest of the world, because unsecured weapons can be obtained by, you know, any number of other agents. So those are some of, quite frankly, those are the pressing issues that have come up in the last week, and it changes quickly, but we're doing our best to monitor all of the human rights concerns that we have in that area.
Okay, is there anything else that you'd like to add about Mustafa Krer's case?
Well, I think one of the really interesting aspects of the mistreatment of Krer and Ahmed Belhaj, the Libyan leader, is that these are people who are playing a very important role in the new Libya. And the way they were treated by foreign governments, in Krer's case, by his own government, by the Canadian government, I think is really important. And as we watch the developments in Libya, it's important to remember what experiences these men were subjected to by the foreign governments that are now supporting the new Libya.
All right. And I think that's all the questions that we have for today. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.